Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast 33 on the poem The Uncle Speaks in the Drawing Room by Adrienne Rich. The first heading on your worksheet is Subject Matter. In this poem, the uncle shares with us his attitude towards the protesters who are standing at his gate. He calls them a mob who mutter bitterly and carry stones. But the uncle expects that their protest will pass peacefully and without incident. However, he is mindful that some of the family treasures and heirlooms which have been passed down through generations are vulnerable. For example, the chandelier and the crystal vase in the drawing room. The uncle feels it is his duty to protect and pass on family treasures which were created by master craftsmen, and he is determined, therefore, to stand against any missile throwers. The second heading is theme. This poem touches on a number of related themes. For example, the theme of power and privilege is very clear in the poem. Another theme might be tradition and the lengths some people would go to in order to protect and preserve the status quo. The theme of protest, of inequality, of privilege, and the theme of the value of art are also present in the poem. Select what you see as the central theme in the poem, and in your worksheet, try to link this theme with the poem's title and the closing lines of the poem. The third heading is quote 3. There are some really vivid pictures in this poem. Select any three images that you particularly liked or thought were interesting. For example, you could find one quote that tells you something about the protesters, perhaps one quote that gives us a clear impression of the uncle, and any one other quotation that you found memorable. We move on now to imagery. The imagery in the poem is crucial in establishing the contrast between life on either side of the gate. Locked outside the gate, the protesters are described by the uncle as nothing more than a mob. This shows his disrespect and contempt for the people who have gathered in protest. Note how the uncle tells us that the protesters are holding stones, which symbolise his view that they are primitive, barbaric, uncultured or uncivilised. Of course, we never really get to know exactly the reason why the protesters have gathered. However, the point may be that the uncle doesn't particularly care why. It will make no difference to his dismissive and condescending attitude. By contrast, the imagery of the family's treasures and possessions represents a privileged way of life. We can almost imagine the sparkle in the image of crystal vase and chandelier. But the frailty of glass when confronted by stones is not lost on the uncle. However, he arrogantly assumes that none of the protesters will dare lift an arm. The tradition, the power and the wealth which his family has enjoyed over many generations is, he feels, assured, despite the follies of the discontented mob. We move on now to language. Rich uses descriptive language throughout the poem. The speaker chooses his language very carefully to reflect his attitudes. For example, consider words such as mob, sullen stare, bitter tones, fingered stones, missile throwers. Contrast these descriptions with language such as frailties of glass, antique ruby bowl, treasures, calmer age and dead glass blowers. The language therefore creates two opposing pictures, and it is the duty of the uncle to protect one from the other. Note also the use of the possessive pronouns us in let us consider and let us only bear in mind, and our in when our grandsire and are in the keeping of our kind, and we in we stand between the dead glass blowers. This gives the impression of the uncle making a speech in his drawing room to members of his own extended family or his own social class, trying to reassure them that the mob will not change or have any impact on their life of privilege. The final line in which the uncle speaks of the murmurings of the mob shows yet again his confidence that the protest will subside without major incident and life will continue as before for the privileged class. The next heading is form. The poem has a formal structure, neatly composed of four stanzas with six lines in each stanza. A traditional structure seems appropriate in a poem about an uncle maintaining traditional social structures which have been in existence for generations. Rich also uses a regular rhyme scheme, which is ABB, ACC. From this, we can recognise the crafting that went into the poem as each stanza follows the same rhyme pattern. The rhythm within the poem is also regular. This may suggest the confidently dismissive tone of the uncle, who, while considering the frailties of glass, does not expect any change to come about as a result of the protests. We move on now to sound. Rich uses several different types of sound effects in the poem. We can see the repeating pattern of end rhyme in each stanza, which gives a sense of continuity between the stanzas and echoes the continuity of the privileged generations in the poem. Line 2 has an interesting example of sibilance, the reference to the mob standing sullen in the square. That repeated S sound suggests the sneering tone of the uncle as he watches the crowd from his drawing room window. In the closing line of the poem, the word murmurings is used to describe the disquiet of the mob. It is an example of onomatopoeia and brings a soft, gentle sound, once again showing the uncle's confidence that nothing will come of the protests. Rich also uses repetition. For example, in stanza 1, she repeats the word sullen and the phrase some have. She also repeats the formal sounding let us in lines 8 and 19, which suggests the arrogant tone of the uncle. Another sound effect can be seen in line 22, are in the keeping of our kind. Is this assonance or alliteration? Write a brief note on sound into your worksheet and include a comment on the impact of sound in your chosen example. We move on then to tone and mood. The tone in this poem emerges from the uncle's very strong views about the protesters at the gate of his residence. Overall, a very dismissive tone is evident in his attitude of contempt towards the protesters. He is uninterested in the reasons behind their protest, although he suspects it is his privilege. He's more concerned with preserving the status quo and dismisses the agitation at his gate as a mere folly. His tone is clear from his language, branding the protesters as nothing more than a mob of sullen missile throwers. You can read more about the poem's tone in the Zoom In quick reference card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The mood of the poem will reflect your own feelings and thoughts. Do you feel a sense of disbelief that the uncle is so protective of property and treasures in spite of the protesters' clamour to be heard? Certainly he has heard their bitter tones and murmurings, but has he really listened to their voices and concerns? Does the poem make you feel angry? Or perhaps you feel the uncle is justified in what he says? The final heading is personal response. What was your overall impression of the uncle in this poem? Can you think of one word to describe this man? For example, is he a proud man? Or do you think he is an inconsiderate and selfish person? Is he a loyal person? What do you feel towards him? For example, do you admire him, envy him, pity him, detest him, and so on? What are his priorities in life? What do you think of his attitude towards the protesters and their grievances? If you were a member of the uncle's family, would you think any differently? Imagine also if you were a protester at his gate. Why are you protesting, and how would you feel? Think about some of the ideas above and then write your own concise personal reflection on the poem into your worksheet.